Let's open up our Bibles to Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, we got that thing hot today. Says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So basically, it's saying, there's a way that seems right and good. However, ultimately, it can lead us to death and destruction. The thing I love about God and His Word is, if I want to know what to do in any given situation, all I have to do is go and see what He says about it and do it, and I know that it will work out.
Amen.
How many of you are glad for that?
Yes.
Okay. Or some of you might be like I was when I was 18 and said to my mom, I want to learn some things the hard way.
My kids are related to you.
Yes. Interesting. That's the foundation for my message this morning. But I want to start with, let's, if we can, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 1. And I will get there eventually. And Jesus went unto the mountain of Olives. And early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman who was taken in adultery. What is adultery?
Yeah.
What is adultery?
Being married and basically
cheating on your spouse.
Yeah,
right? With another wife. Good, I'm glad. I'm glad you know what it means. Okay? So I think what he was saying was being married and going to be with another person other than your spouse. Right? Okay. And being sexual with them. Now, I want to tell you this morning, my message this morning is about our sexuality. However, I love having the young people in here because they've heard all kinds and seen all kinds of lies.
Right.
We want to talk about the truth.
Yeah.
And we have a young man here that understands it. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
So, she was caught in adultery. In other words, she was married, but she was caught with another man. Right?
Yes.
And that's adultery, sexually, being with another man. Let's go on. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. They said to him, Master, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. I wonder how that happened. We won't go on from there. Okay. I label a setup, by the way. That's my personal opinion. Now the Moses in the law commanded us that such would be stoned. But what do you say? So basically, in the Old Testament, if anybody was caught being sexually unfaithful to their spouse, what'd they do?
Stoned.
They stoned them.
Stoned them dead.
Boy, we wouldn't have much population in America at that rate. All right, let's pick on up and go on. What do you say? In other words, they're challenging him because they think they can catch him.
Right.
And this they did, tempting him, that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued to ask him, he lifted himself up and said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." In other words, if you haven't sinned, now you have the right to stone him. I happen to believe what he was writing words with his finger.
Yeah.
I believe he started from the oldest person writing their sin. And so from the oldest to the youngest, they walked out one at a time. Embarrassed, realizing that Jesus knew their sin and he could easily expose them. And when they had heard it, they were convicted in their own conscience, I believe because he wrote their sin down, and went out one by one, beginning from the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus was left alone with a woman standing in the midst. Now Jesus says, we're going to go back to the law. You want to use the law, let's use it. And Jesus had lifted him up. He saw none were there. And he said to him, "Woman, where are your accusers? Don't you have anybody to accuse you?" By the way, what was the law? You had to have at least two witnesses to stone somebody. And everybody was gone to accuse her, so there couldn't be any stoning party. Okay? So, verse 11. And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto him, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Adultery is?
Sin.
What does sin mean?
Missing the mark.
To miss God's purpose and plan. Miss the mark. How many of us have missed the mark? All of us have. Otherwise, if you didn't raise your hand, it's either you're ignorant or you're a liar.
So you missed the mark.
And that's in lying. Is being ignorant isn't. Okay, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad being ignorant isn't sin? Or else we'd be in trouble all the time. Okay. So this morning, the thing is, how did the woman end up in sexual sin? Let me tell you how I believe. She believed a lie. And what is that lie? Somebody else will satisfy you more or better. Okay? Now I'm going to jump in my notes a little bit and see if I can do it from my memory. Okay? God made sex enjoyable.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Done in his context.
Amen.
However, sex outside of the bond of marriage will not satisfy the way sex within the bond of marriage, because sex is supposed to be a physical, emotional, and spiritual experience. And I know some people say, how can sex be spiritual? Because God came up with the idea. So, and unfortunately in the church, because we try to stand for morality, all too often we don't talk about those issues.
That's right.
So I believe if it's you just on the side, it will not satisfy the way God intended, okay, because it's more than just a physical act.
Right.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be emotional and spiritual too.
Yeah.
Oh man, they're starting to bring groceries and they know it's going to be a long message. Hey, it ain't going to be long because of me. It might be because of her, but not me. Okay. Here we go. When they start bringing food in, you know you're in trouble. Okay, here we go. So I believe she believed a lie.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's start in Genesis. I want to go back and do a quick, real simple review of what I spoke on the last time I spoke. Anybody remember what it was?
God created man in our image.
What's that? We spoke on marriage. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says this. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female. We are like God in three ways, in different ways. So we were made in the image of God. God is three persons. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You realize we have three aspects to who we are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What are we?
Body,
soul, and spirit. We were made in the image of God. So if you have a hard time understanding God, all you got to do is, well, you may not understand yourself either. But all you got to do is take a look at ourselves and say, hey, I have a body. I have a soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions. And I have a spirit. That's where God comes to live in me. So we're made in the image of God. God was eternal. He always was. He always is. And he always will be. By the way, we are made then to be eternal too. However, we were not always was. That's supposed to be funny. Okay. He always has been. We have a beginning. We call it our birthday. Okay? And we will last forever. We will spend eternity either in heaven or we will spend eternity in hell. And you're the one that chooses that. God has done his part so you and I don't have to go to hell. We have to receive what he's done. Amen?
Amen.
Good. But he said he made us male and female. There are only two sexes. I know in our society they are really confused. Okay? But what I'm trying to straighten that out, hopefully this will go all across YouTube and everybody will get it straightened out and understand. There's only males and females. And God made them differently. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Certainly. Let's see where my notes are now. Okay, let's look at Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone, and he made him a helpmeet. By the way, it wasn't just the man. He was talking about mankind. We were made for relationship. Isn't that frustrating? You need me even if you don't like me. Because without me, you won't be fulfilled.
Right.
You know, I'm always to give people a hard time and say, life would be so much simpler if it wasn't for people.
Right.
I like that, huh? You can identify with that, huh? No, that's the problem with us. Is we don't realize how much we need each other. God made us for relationship. And when it comes to our sexual aspect, he made a man need a woman and a woman to need a man. I know the enemy's a liar and says it's not so. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay? So God only made a man and a woman and said, I don't want you to be alone.
God.
So, yes, praise God. Okay, let me see. And God said, verse 28, where am I at? I have part of my dinner from last night covering my mark. It said, be fruitful and multiply wherever it said it. I almost did my notes in the other day, something got dumped on the table, and that's part of the results is it's wiped out. But God said, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Whose idea is that?
God's.
Good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many of you love kids? Abigail is about ready to have a baby in about 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And she is so excited. She's already talking to the baby. The baby's talking back because they're doing somersaults. She likes her voice. But having children, it can be a whole lot of fun as well as a whole lot of work.
Yes.
But God's will is we are fruitful and multiply. And God made us differently because he wanted to take two of them in order to have children. You realize God intentionally made it to take two to become a family. I want to be careful because I don't want to, because this issue is so challenging. I'm disturbed by some of the things that the scientists are doing today. Okay? I'm really disturbed. Okay? So it's our job to produce children and raise children, and God designed it that they could be raised in a stable, secure place with a man and a woman. With a woman loving, nurturing, and training the children, and a man providing, protecting, and directing the family.
Yes.
That's God's intention. Now, I know in our culture, there's women that have been really hurt and said, the man directed me, not on your life. Well, I'm sorry that some man has not treated you with respect. However, God's intention is for a man to run the family because he's going to give account before God one day for what he did or did not do. Men, I'm talking to you. God made you responsible to honor and love your wife and love your children and care for them and provide for them and protect them. Amen?
Amen.
Good. I just want to be careful because in our society, all that is getting messed up.
Yes.
Really messed up. Where am I at? Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God intended for marriage to be what it is. And they became one flesh together. And the interesting thing is, and they were both naked and they were not ashamed. Listen. Sex is not a shameful thing until it gets twisted.
There you go.
And what makes it a shameful thing is we've really twisted it.
Yeah.
So hopefully this morning we're going to do a little bit to straighten it out, okay? Now, since marriage and family is so powerful, by the way, any society that messes up on the idea of family, that society falls apart.
Yes, it does.
How's America doing? Not real well. So, family is a structure of any society. When a family falls apart, what happens? The society falls apart. So, and the next generation isn't. If the next generation doesn't happen a couple of times, what happens? We will no longer exist. Now, since the family is so powerful, what do you suppose Satan's going to do? Satan is going to do his best to distort our sexuality. Right? Yeah. Because he knows if he can distort and destroy your sexuality, he literally destroyed mankind.
That's right.
And he is doing his best. Especially here, our leaders have cooperated with him very well. But once again this morning, for us who love God, and he is Lord of our life, We want to do it His way. Amen?
Amen.
So that means we're going to get married, right? We're not just going to shack up. Okay? I thought about looking at the stats. I didn't want to do it because I'd be so frustrated. Listen, by the time you take the people that just live together and all that mess, our country's in trouble with the next generation unless we fall back in love with Jesus and do it His way. Amen? So He's going to attack every family. Listen, if you're married, He's going to attack your marriage.
Yes.
Can I give you a recommendation?
Yes.
God hates divorce.
Yes.
He doesn't hate divorcees. He hates divorce. Because divorce destroys people and families and our security and our nation. And so He hates divorce. Can I give you a recommendation this morning?
Sure.
Divorce is not a consideration for me and my wife.
Amen.
Okay? Be exact, those that know my story, I went back to her even though I did not love her or desire to be with her or anything because God said I had to if I wanted Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what, you know what I decided? I said, if I'm going to be with her, you know what I might just well do? Make the best of it. You know what? I know people that live together, they're married, and make each other miserable. You are really not too bright.
Happy wife, happy.
Not too bright. Listen, if divorce is not an option, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, how are we going to make this fun? Okay? How are we going to make this enjoyable? Because if we're going to be together, we might just as well make the best of it.
Yes.
And don't be surprised that you have challenges doing that.
Yes.
Go ahead. That's it. Awesome. There we go. Awesome. And so for me, divorce isn't an option. Can I say that if divorce is an option, more than likely you'll get divorced?
That's right.
But God hates divorce.
Yes.
And God saved me from myself. He took me back to my family. Today, my family is the best thing going for me. And so I'm so glad that the requirement I had to have Him in my life. Because listen, life doesn't make sense without God.
Amen.
Just take my word for it. Put God in the picture and everything has purpose.
Amen.
Listen, when everything that we do makes an eternal difference. My life is so full of purpose. I have a good reason to live my life. But, however, it's important that we do not make divorce an option. That wasn't in my notes. That's free. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 19. I'm going back to some I covered the other week, but that's fine. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6. And the Pharisees came unto Jesus, tempting Him, saying to Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Oh, I didn't realize I was going here. Good. And what did Jesus say? Have you not read from the beginning how He made them male and female? Isn't it interesting? Jesus went back to the family, male and female. There we go. All right? How He made them male and female, and for this He said, the cause shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Where does that come from? Genesis. We just read it. And the two shall be one flesh. Therefore, what are put together, do not let them be put asunder. God wants marriage to be a secure place for the adults, not just the children.
Yes.
A secure, loving place. And He said, that's my intention, that you make it a lifetime commitment. Okay? And He said, by the way, He also says that He wants our sexuality exercised only with our mate, right?
Yes.
That's what He wants, right?
Yes.
Why does He want that?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, So you don't commit adultery. I believe there's a good reason he didn't want us to commit adultery, so we have a safe, secure place as adults. And a place where children can be raised where they're safe and secure and protected and provided for. Amen? Now, once again, as I'm talking about some of these issues, because we're going to talk about some issues still today, if the enemy comes in and starts to accuse you because you've messed up along the way, don't go there. Before we're done, we're going to give you some answers to some of the stuff, okay? So don't go there. I messed up. But God's a God of redemption. Okay? So the condom, if the enemy comes and says, see what you've done, you've really messed it up. Well, if we were all to be honest, there's probably not a person in this room that hasn't messed it up. However, God's a redeemer. Amen? He's a redeemer. Okay? So, God intended marriage to be a lifetime. I want to talk about what marriage is again so that we talk about a good description of marriage. A marriage is a public declaration. Okay? When somebody tries to get you and make a private one, let me tell you something. Don't do it.
Amen.
If they're ashamed of you and not willing to honor you, don't do it.
All right.
It's a public declaration of a lifetime commitment. By the way, no prenups.
Amen.
No prenups. If they're going to give you a prenup, you know what they care about? They care about their stuff more than you. And you got the wrong person. No prenups. By the way, if they're saying prenups, what are they saying? Divorce is an option. Don't marry somebody that divorce is an option. Do not marry them. Otherwise, it will happen. Okay? So it is a public declaration of a lifetime commitment to a person of the opposite sex. Can we say opposite sex?
Opposite sex.
Awesome. Very good. That's in God's plan. That fulfills the law of the land. By the way, I believe we should honor the law of the land and get a marriage license. If somebody won't get a marriage license, all they're not wanting is the law to hold them accountable and responsible for children that might be conceived.
Right.
Ooh, why wouldn't they want to do it like by the law?
Because they want to do it their way.
Be careful of anybody that says, let's get married without a license.
Yeah.
Got the wrong person. Okay, unless that law of the land violates God's law. Always,
right.
Always, any law that violates God's law is superseded by God's law. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, any use of our sexuality outside of the bond of marriage is called fornication.
Yes.
We talked about adult. What is fornication? Anybody tell me? Fornication is any sexual act outside the bond of marriage. It includes adultery. Shall we say it again? Some of you need to write down because you've been confused by all the junk that's out there, and we need to understand what it is. Fornication is any sexual act done outside the bond of marriage. Okay, what's that?
It includes adultery.
Yes, that includes adultery. Thank you. That includes adultery. Okay? And fornication is sin. It misses the mark. And I could give you 100 verses. I don't need to. There's 100 verses in the Word that talks about adulterers. By the way, when those who willfully continue in adultery, God says they won't make it to heaven.
That's right.
Okay? So adulterers, in other words, those that live that lifestyle and haven't repented, right? Those that live that lifestyle and haven't repented will not go to heaven.
Amen.
By the way, it doesn't matter how much you go to church, it won't make a difference unless you repent. Okay? All right. So there are many ways that Satan tries to distort our sexuality. Here are a few. I want to talk about a few ways Satan tries to distort our sexuality. with lots of lies, by the way. One of the lies are, you're not a man or a woman until you've had sex. You're not a real man or a woman till you've had sex. That virginity is a bad thing.
Lie.
Oh, come on. That is prevalent in our young people today. No, it is prevalent in our young people today. If you haven't been sexually involved, then you're not a man or a woman. You have to prove you're a man or a woman. Let me explain something to you. That is not what makes a man or a woman. God made you a man or a woman. You're a sex because God made you a sex, not because you have sex.
There you go.
Okay. So, young people, if anybody says, have you had sex yet? And you say no, and they say, oh, you're a virgin. That's awful. You need to have sex, and then you'll be a real man. Is it true?
No.
Not true. It takes a real man to keep himself pure. I can say I was a virgin when I got married.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. Yes.
Not because I was so good. Believe me, I had a praying mama. Knew I'd mess myself up real bad if she didn't keep on her knees for me. And she did keep on my knees, and I'm just grateful. And I just want to say to you, no, it takes a real man or a real woman to be a virgin when they get married.
That's right.
When I was young, I tried to get rid of it as quick as possible, so I was cool. But if you own it, and you say, I'm a virgin and it's cool, and you own it, it's cool.
Yes. If you own it. So, one of the lies, what's that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tim Tebow was a virgin.
Yes, he was great.
Cool. Yeah. Tim Tebow was a virgin.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Pastor Roy was a virgin.
And
I like to think I'm a real man. Hey, just a minute. Just like playing basketball, if playing basketball makes you a real man, I'm a real man. Where's the young people? Oh, they're back there, I see. Okay. I harass them with my basketball tactics. Let's go on. Let's go on to number two. By the way, the Bible says love waits.
Yeah.
And anybody that loves you will never ask you to have sex outside of marriage.
Come on. Amen.
Okay, is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. That is Satan trying to screw up your life.
Yep.
And I just want to encourage you, listen. Stand true. Don't settle.
Amen.
Listen. Anybody who isn't going to do it God's way, they will divorce you too.
Yes, they will.
They will use you and throw you away. Do it God's way.
Yeah.
Number two, Satan can stir you up with a desire for the same sex, saying they will satisfy you. But listen to me this morning. God did not make you for same sex. He made them different. He made men and women different for a good reason, so we could have children and love one another. So when it happens, if people tell me, oh, I have these desires, so I just gave in to them. Let me tell you what those desires are. That is the liar Satan trying to destroy your sexuality. Don't buy the lie. You are made a woman or you are made a man. And you need to be true to what God chose for you, because God made you who you are because he has a good plan for you.
Amen.
So don't settle for that lie.
Amen.
And I know all of our wackos will say, well, if you feel that way, it must be so. And they've gone so far as to say that a kid playing like a cat in school has to have a litter box. No, literally. Literally. That's how crazy our society has gotten. Listen, it's time we get back to the Word of God and do it His way. That we might prosper. That we might have a good life. It isn't sad that we have to talk about these kind of things, but the problem is, you know what, if you hear a lie long enough, you can easily begin to believe it, especially when Satan seems to make it true in your heart.
Yes.
Okay? And God didn't make a mistake whenever sex he made you. He did not make a mistake. He knows you. He knows his plans that he had for you. And they are good plans. They are good plans. By the way, any mistake we make in this, God is big enough to turn it around.
Amen.
And before we're done, we're going to talk about that a little bit in just a couple minutes. I don't know how long I've been. It must have been about 10 minutes, haven't it? I'm sorry. Satan can try to lie to you and say that God made a mistake concerning which sex you are. But God never made a mistake, right. Only Satan is. Proverbs 139:14 says this, I am wonderfully and fearfully made.
Hallelujah.
By God Almighty.
Amen.
139, I don't know, I wrote it 14. Listen, what's that?
You said Proverbs.
I'm sorry, Psalms. Forgive me, thank you. Psalms 139:14. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. Listen, Satan's going to come along and try to get you and I to hate ourselves.
Yes.
And listen, if God messed up on making you, can you trust him in any other place?
No.
And so he'll start because we have a little bit. You haven't got a nose like me, and you wish you did. Listen, if Satan can get you to hate something about yourself, how can you trust a God that messed up when he made you? And it's a bold-faced lie, but it sure can feel real.
Right.
It's important we know when Satan's lying to us, and God says, I want you to love others the way you love yourself. What is he saying? It's not a I'm better than. It's I accept who I am.
Amen.
You know, Satan tried to get me to take all that. I know you guys know me fairly well. And, you know, I have this sweet, soft, gentle, easygoing way about me, don't I? Well, I have two brothers that are that way. They are just to know them is to love them. They're wonderful people. I love them and I enjoy them. They love me too, I think. But you know, there's been times when I said, I just wish I were like them. And God immediately challenges me. He says, if I wanted you like them, I would have made you like them.
Yeah.
He said, I made you who you are outside of any sin. Listen, outside of any sin,
that's right.
You need to accept yourself.
Yeah.
And I happen to know, God said, he spoke to my heart many times and said, I made you because I know the plans that I have for you.
That's right.
And so he's given me what might be labeled a strong personality.
Mm-hmm. Might be.
As long as it's yielded to Jesus,
that's
it's
right.
Good.
Amen.
Because I will stand against the tide when others won't.
Okay.
And this morning, I'm standing against the tide, and some people would be afraid to get up here and talk about our sexuality, but listen, it needs to be talked about.
Yes.
And grandparents, it's your job to talk to your grandkids and exemplify it.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Yes. Let's take responsibility, grandparents.
That's right.
Parents have a tough load. You need to stand along with them. Amen.
Yeah.
And exemplify it. Let's go on. I only got a couple more here and I got my part done. In our day, let me see. Satan can try to distort your sexuality by somebody sexually abusing you. But it is important that if anybody has sexually abused you, you get with a pastor or a counselor and get some help because God can restore you. Okay?
Amen.
Sexual abuse can really distort us.
Yes.
but God can redeem it.
Amen.
I want to take just a couple minutes, and it's not in my notes, so it's I get an extra five. I want to tell you a story. A number of years ago, I had a lady come to me and say, my aunt said I need to get with you because I'm going crazy. And she literally was. She was on the edge. And she couldn't take care of her bills. She wasn't responsible. All kinds of stuff going on in her life like that. And literally just couldn't focus, all that. So my wife and I met with her and spent some time talking to her. And got to know her in our first meeting, second meeting. We were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden God says, ask her if she's been sexually abused. I said, have you been sexually abused? And she just began to cry. I mean, she wept, and she wept. The cool thing is you probably think that she would never quit, because that's what Satan says to you, so you won't let the pain out.
Right.
And probably only after about 5-6 minutes, she quit crying. And there is a process for healing and restoration. And so we took her through the process with that. And I won't tell you the process. If you've been sexually abused, please get with us so we can help you get on past that.
Amen.
Okay. When we got done, my wife is sitting there and she says, I just had a vision. Now, my wife isn't one that has visions every day. I'm the nightmare. She had the vision. Okay. And she says, here's what I had a vision of. I had a vision of this little girl about 4 years old in this blue lacy dress just twirling. And the lady across from me said, oh my goodness. She opened up her phone. She said, my aunt sent this to me. And it was a picture of her about 4 years old in a blue lacy dress dancing.
Sent it to her that day.
And she realized God really knew her. So she left. She come back the next week. Different woman. Came back next week and she said, let me tell you what happened on my way home from last week. So I got driving and there was two detours that she had to take. And she got near the end of the last detour, she's sitting in front of the house where she had been sexually abused and viciously raped many times. She said, all of a sudden, a fear hit me. And just as fast as that, a total peace.
Amen.
And I knew that God had healed me.
Amen.
Listen, I'm telling you, God knows you.
Yes.
He cares about you.
Yes.
He wants to heal you and restore you and deliver you and put you back into life's game, doing what he wanted you to do.
Amen.
Satan will do everything in his power to try to rob, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
But Jesus came to give life and life more abundant.
Yeah.
So greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Don't believe the lies of hell. Number six. No, number five. In our day, one of the most destructive sexual things is pornography.
Yes.
Okay. Matthew 5:28 says, to look upon the opposite sex and to lust after them, I'm not talking about doing anything else, lust after them is sin.
Yes.
Pornography. This fantasy world.
Yep.
In your heart, you're having sex with that person that you're seeing in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I know something about you this morning. In the average church, at least 80% of the people sitting there have some kind of problem with pornography, whether it be bathing suit pornography or whether it be the X-rated pornography. 80%. By the way, that's conservative. No, that is conservative. because it is so prevalent.
Yes.
No matter where you go, it's there. Can I tell you that one of the ways that I know to win is the first thing to do with all sin is to get it out in the open. Yes. Not because you're proud of it, but because you beat the Satan. As soon as it's over, as soon as it's exposed, half of the battle is won because Satan's been exposed.
Yep.
Amen.
The other process is letting people stand with you in doing the battle, because there's all kinds of stuff. I just want to say, if you, I thank God, I have not got hung up on pornography. When I was a kid, I saw one Playboy, and that's all I've ever done pornography, because God kept me. Once again, my mama was a praying woman. I am what I am a lot today because of my mama. Because God kept me. She prayed for me, and God kept me.
So hear that, moms. Pray.
Listen to me. There is freedom from pornography. It is more addictive than opium, okay? Or heroin. It's more addictive than all of those.
Yes.
Okay? And especially men, they are visually stimulated. Most men are visually stimulated. Very, most women aren't. They're relationally stimulated. And then I don't want to go any further than that. Okay, so therefore, men are a lot more prone. However, it used to be 30% of women and 60% of men. You know what? It's almost the 50% of women have a problem with pornography too.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Satan's trying to bend our sexuality, and you better fight for it because it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth purity. It's worth it.
Amen.
Yes. It's worth it. And if there'll be a battle, and let somebody fight that battle with you.
Yes.
Don't let the shame, remember they were both naked and not ashamed. Mm-hmm. Don't let the shame that Satan's trying to put on you keep you from doing battle against it.
Amen.
You know what's worse? Is the advertisements we see on TV. Listen, it's as bad as pornography.
Yes.
When I'm sitting in the living room and one of them come up, I'll look at my wife. She's right over there. So I get a lot of time looking at my wife. Because she's the only one that's going to satisfy my sexual desires. I will not allow anybody else to do that. So therefore, it's okay to lust after my wife.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on. I know. Come on, Dad. Yeah, I had a lady that came to church here and said, it's really hard for me to think about you and your wife being sexual. You're the pastor. You're the pastor. I said, give me a break. Okay, let's go. Okay, let's go on. Listen to me, folk. You better filter your TVs.
Yes.
You better filter them. And how you filter them can be really challenging. So, I'm going to take a break. And I'm Angel, God has used her a lot in helping people deal with the spiritual side of these kind of things. So I want her to give you some answers and some hope. Amen?
So, I really don't like to get up here on Sunday mornings like this, but I know why. Part of the reason God's been able to use me to the extent that he has is because I have messed up. I have not done things the godly way in the past. And where much sin abound, much grace does also, though. And so God has been able to redeem a lot of those issues in my life, and in doing so, has opened and given me revelation into deeper things in the spirit realm. So, sexual sin, you can't really rank sin because sin is sin. However, there's greater consequences in the spirit realm, sexual sin.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason why we knew it was so prevalent, and it's so prevalent in society, and it's a needed it's a needed sermon for people to hear, because the consequences are pretty dire, and most of us don't even realize how dire they are. So Roy had asked me if I would just go over a few of those, and I think I have four main ones that I had some points about. So I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Roy told me I had 10 minutes, so I'm not going to wait for you to turn where I'm going, but if you need the scripture references later, I'll give them to you. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses starting at verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all of these things, as we told you beforehand and warned you about. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." So point one, one of the consequences is going to be you grieve the Holy Spirit. The very end of that scripture says, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. If you disregard the guidelines or God's laws concerning sexual sin, then you're not living a holy life to the extent that you should be living. Therefore, you're disregarding him, not just yourself, not just the world, and he withholds his Holy Spirit to a certain extent because of that reason. So, by the way, like the Gentiles, who are Gentiles?
We are.
We are, right? Okay, some translations actually use the word pagans. I find it interesting that when Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were going out and they were starting to speak the gospel to the Gentiles, there was talk about if all the Gentiles needed to be circumcised and keep all the law of Moses in order to be saved. And this didn't set well with Paul and Barnabas, so they took it to the council. And James, who was Jesus' half-brother, he was kind of the chairman of the council, and he came, in godly wisdom, I believe, came to the conclusion that there was three main things that they needed to abstain from. And that was, let me think. Yes, of idol worship, drink or eating things that had blood poured out, and sexual immorality. And I believe that it's kind of interesting that these three things in ancient times, and probably in today's times also, whether we know it or not, they're linked to idol worship and pagan worship. So it's interesting if you really understand and see through some things that scripture, sometimes it doesn't use the word Gentiles, it uses the word pagans. And we don't realize until we're told that there's this whole spirit realm. And when we do certain things and participate in certain things that are outside of the ways of God, we are opening ourselves up to this whole spirit realm of demonic attack. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. All right, so point number two is soul ties. Who's heard of soul ties? If you've been through my healing class, you've heard of soul ties. I'm not going to go too deep into defining, you know, the backing what soul ties are. However, it shows in Genesis 2:24 that Roy read earlier, the first marriage covenant, it was two fleshes becoming one. Because of how God designed our bodies, this literally happens when a male and female have sexual intercourse, but not just in the natural. If we do things God's way, I believe when a husband and wife have sexual intercourse, it's the closest reflection of the Creator whose image we are made in. Because there's both male and female characteristics, and the unity that a godly marriage covenant is intended to hold is that like of the unity of the Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? When we do things the world's ways, I'm going to read from a scripture from 1 Corinthians from the Passion Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Maybe. All right, starting at verse 15. I just really appreciate the wording of the Passion. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20 says, "Don't you know that your bodies belong to Christ as his body parts? Should one presume to take the members of Christ's body and make them into members of a harlot," which is another word for a prostitute or a whore? "Absolutely not. Aren't you aware of the fact that when anyone sleeps with a prostitute, he becomes part of her and she becomes part of him? For it has been declared, the two become a single body." He was referencing to Genesis 2, flesh become one, right? "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. For every other sin a person commits is external to the body, but immorality involves sinning against your own body. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you?" By the way, this scripture is backing about how we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't do things God's way. Let me see. "You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to bring glory to God." Amen. When we do things the world's way, the act of sex is what yokes or binds us together, not just marriage vows. Yeah. How do you... Well, actually, I'll get there in a minute. When we have multiple partners, we make multiple connections or ties to these partners. Every time you're sexual with somebody, because of the way that God designed us, you are yoking yourself to that person. It may only be one time. You may not even remember their name, but you're yoking yourself on a spiritual level to this person. When I first heard about soul ties several years ago, I ran home to Michael. Michael and I were already married, and we had decided that we needed to break soul ties that we had before we got married with other people. So we went to separate rooms. We wrote down the names of the people on a slip of paper. We folded the paper. There's no need to show your spouse that paper, by the way. And then we came together, we prayed, and we severed the soul ties, and we burned the papers together. Yeah. It wasn't until a few years ago, after I started writing the healing curriculum and all that kind of stuff, I realized that my husband and I had ungodly soul ties because we had premarital sex. We were both living in the world. Neither one of us were living for God. And so we went through breaking ungodly soul ties with one another even. Yeah. Because why would you want the ungodly ones?
Right.
So soul ties is the second point. Another one is blood covenants. Sex as a virgin is intended to consummate or complete a marriage. Yep. That's the binding together. It's not just the marriage vows. It's the sexual intercourse of binding together that completes that marriage, those marriage vows. When a wife's hymen is broken, producing blood to initiate a blood covenant between man and wife. This was God's intended way. He intended for a man and his wife to have a blood covenant to bind them together. Here's what's interesting about blood covenants is they're powerful because they're sealed with blood, and blood is our life source. Mm-hmm. Naturally, blood is what carries oxygen and nutrients to every part of our bodies to survive. And spiritually, the blood of Christ was shed to seal the new covenant of grace that we might spiritually live for eternity. Yes. They are life sources. Blood covenants are also lifelong. Marriage is intended to be for a lifetime, just as a blood covenant is intended to stand for a lifetime. This is why vows include "till death do us part." The third point is a generational curse. So in Exodus 20, verse 5, it states that we are not, it's part of the Ten Commandments. We are not to bow down to false gods. If we do, then it says the Lord will visit the inequities up to 3 to 4 generations, right? Here's what's really interesting. If you were to go to Deuteronomy 23:2, it takes those generational curses a step further. It says, "One of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord." This scripture tells me that just like sexual sin has greater consequences than some other sins, we commit sins and it brings on generational curses, right? However, sexual sin doesn't just go 3 to 4 generations, it goes 10.
Yeah.
Illegitimate birth is anything outside of the way that God intended for a child to be born, which was intended to be within a marriage, a godly marriage, right? Assembly of the Lord represents, it was in reference to when the Israelite people would join together corporately at the temple to worship God. So children born outside of a godly marriage are cursed from birth. And I know that sounds really scary, but I'll give you some hope in just a second. Here's what I know is the Assembly of God, it didn't mean that they couldn't receive God. It didn't mean that they couldn't be a part of the religion, per se. It meant that they were outcasts, though, and that they weren't allowed to be a part of the big gatherings and the assembly of people joining together to at the temple to worship God and all that kind of stuff. It's a curse that doesn't necessarily have an outward appearance, but it definitely has an inward appearance effect. This curse is one that tells the cursed that they should be ashamed of who they are, that they don't belong, and that they aren't good enough, that they are unacceptable and unapproved of. I had to deal with this curse. No matter how much healing I had received, no matter how much godly truth I retained and repeated to myself, no matter how much God spoke to me that I was his daughter and whom he was well pleased, I always felt like I just didn't belong in ministry, that I wasn't good enough or worthy enough. And then one day, that all changed when I realized and understood that I had a curse that needed to be broken. If you ever feel like you're always on the outside looking in, even when you're in the right places with the right people, but you just feel that disconnect, it's a spirit of illegitimacy. God's ways are better, though. But by the way, the curse can be broken.
Amen.
God did break that curse off of me. Thank you. And the thing of it is that the word, actually it's not the word, a pastor, I forget who it was from long ago, said, you can't cast out the flesh and you can't disciple a demon.
Jack Hayford.
Jack Hayford, there you go. So you can't cast out the flesh and you can't disciple a demon. Okay, a lot of times we have these issues, like when we feel like we're not good enough. And they're a lie from the enemy. Of course they're a lie. But we think that if we just feed ourselves truth, which you do need to do, by the way, but we just think if we feed ourselves truth, that eventually the lies will go away. If there is a spiritual connection and there is a spiritual attachment, you can feed yourself truth all day long, and that lie will still linger, and you will still battle. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It has nothing to do with salvation. But you will struggle to be all that God's called you to be. But there's a way. We have the power in Christ Jesus. He left us with his authority through his name that we can evict those demonic attachments.
Amen.
And we can close those doors.
Amen.
Here's a side note. God's ways are better. If you were to look at Deuteronomy 7:9, remember we talked about he will visit the iniquity of your ancestors 3 to 4 generations. Sexual sin is 10 generations. Here's what Deuteronomy 7:9 says. Now therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Hallelujah.
God's ways always supersedes any pervertedness that the enemy can ever try to do on your family line. If you take those steps.
Amen.
I don't have this in my note, but you know, I'm allowed to do that too. So I was thinking about, after I'd already wrote this up, about people who have been sexually abused. And there's a lot that can come with that. None of those situations are black and white. But I even have an example with that. I was sexually molested when I was 3. And I had no recollection of it until I was in my mid-20s. And some of you might remember, we had a guest speaker, Phil Wade, come and he shared his testimony. And he had been sexually abused several times, just in really weird ways, you know, just wrong place, around wrong people. Not by his fault, obviously. But anyways, every time he would talk about it, I would just fall into tears. And I was like, God, what is going on with me? Like, I know it's sad, but why am I crying like this? And sitting right over there, I closed my eyes, and God showed me. He took me back to the time that I had been sexually molested. Ironically, my mother was in that service that day. So after the service, I'm pretty sure I went to Roy and told him. I said, I think I was sexually molested, and I just remembered it. And so I went to my mom, and I was telling her what God was showing me. And she said, well, we thought we had gotten there in time, so before anything had happened. And they didn't. But that's okay, because God is bigger than all of that.
Amen.
And what I know is that God is gentle and healing, and He won't take you anywhere that He's not ready, that you're not ready to go, where He will walk with you through, so you can come out on the other side and receive healing. So I know for some people, it's to think about these things, especially if you've been sexually abused, it's really scary to think about going and revisiting that. Here's the thing, though. You live with it day in and day out. Whether you think about it or not, day in and day out, you live with it, and it drives you to certain lengths and levels that you're not even aware of subconsciously. But the Holy Spirit can give you healing, and He wants to give you healing. That's the big thing, is God desires to heal His children, and He will take you. If he's taking you there, it's because He wants to take you through it and out of it into freedom. To finish up, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, but brother goes to Loggins. Hang on. 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, actually, okay, starting at verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It's interesting to me that the first, like, several sins he just listed all had to do with sexuality. Here's the great part, though. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the Spirit of our God.
Hallelujah.
There is redemption.
Yes.
For sexual sin.
Yes.
When Michael and I were dating, obviously I had already told you guys that we were not serving Christ, and we were sexual. I got pregnant at 17. That was our oldest son that we had lost. But a week before we lost him, Christ called me back. I had run from God for 4 years. And when I say run from God, like, I didn't go and pray when I got in trouble. I just ran from God. And God spoke to me pretty plainly, probably about 8 months before I lost that baby, and said, when are you going to come back to me, Angel? And I said, not right now, because I'm living life the way I want to live it. And I don't do things half-heartedly. So I knew coming back to Christ meant I was going to have to give up a whole lot of things that in my flesh I didn't want to give up yet. But some of the darkest times of my life transpired. Michael got hooked. He was part of that whole opiate epidemic and pandemic, and he got hooked on opiates, and I just didn't know what to do. I couldn't save him, but I knew somebody who could.
Amen.
So, shockingly to my surprise, I found myself falling on my knees, crying out to God. And a week later, so I chose to give my life back to Christ. A week later, we lost the baby, which, by the way, just shows God's goodness.
Amen.
God knew what we were about to go through.
Amen.
And he doesn't leave us to ourselves.
Amen.
And so anyways, I told Michael, I said, I've committed my life back to Christ. And when I do things, I do things wholeheartedly, and I'm going to do things the right way. Which meant that him and I were not going to be sexually active until he chose to marry me. And he chose to do that.
Yay.
So for 4 months between that time and the day that we took our vows, which, by the way, is in like 2 weeks, We remained sexually separate from one another. And so when I got married, I did not get married a natural virgin. However, God redeemed and purified our hearts. And if I could go back, would I have done things a different way? Absolutely. But you can't go back. But God can redeem, and He can purify, and He can restore if you'll choose to repent and if you'll choose to do things His way. So, with that, if you know that you're struggling with any of those things, sexual soul ties, generational curse, the spirit of illegitimacy, sexual abuse, lust, any of those things. By the way, when you open yourself up to things like pornography, you open yourself up to a spirit. And yes, you do need to make yourself accountable. There's certain things that you have to go through in the natural to keep you on the path of victory. But you also have to take authority over the spirits that you've opened yourself up to in the name of Jesus. So if you've struggled or are struggling with any of those things, just know that there's myself, Roy, James are all available to meet with you if you just get with us. So,
Amen.
So, you can never be a virgin again, but you can be pure.
Amen.
And when it's Jesus that makes you pure, it's even better.
Amen.
The story on that lady that I told about who had been raped and all that. The cool thing was, we met with her for about 3 or 4 months. Her life got in order. She could function. She could put all that. God restored her to her daughter, and she moved to Texas so she could be with her child.
Yep.
God wants to restore. Listen,
yes.
Everything that Satan has taken.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
God has something better than that.
Yes.
And He wants to restore, He wants to forgive, He wants to redeem. Okay? And I'm here because God's a redeeming God. He redeemed my marriage. Amen?
Amen.
God will take you because you know what you need. Listen to God. But you have a plan for our sexuality. And God, We confess where we have fallen short.
Yes, Lord.
And we just want Your redemption power.
Yes.
Your redeeming power.
Yes.
To come in and break every power of darkness.
Yes,
Lord. That we might be free to be what You intended us from the beginning.
Yes,
You're such an amazing God. We have so many testimonies of Your faithfulness.
Yes.
We give You praise, we give You honor, we give You glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.